Hello, hello. Welcome to the On Wall Podcast. I'm Bia. I'm joined by
Nathan. Hello.
And we are in, or just actually like an hour outside of fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada.
I don't know where we are. We went into a tunnel. We came out here. I'm really confused.
We went down into the tunnels in search of answers.
We had to kill a lot of homeless people.
So
they just wanted to eat.
But we made it through that, and now we are out here at SHOT Show for the week. It's the end of the week, technically, but we're filming the intro now.
Yeah.
So
checked out. Oh my god.
We saw lots of things, on and off the floor. Vegas is an interesting place, but
this is Night City.
This is Night City. It's fucking wild out here, gang. But hopefully, we'll be getting you guys a good smattering of what you guys want to see. And kind of, you know, the people's view on SHOT Show, since not all of us lowly peasants can wander around. But we've snuck in. So, gonna share with you guys what's going on in the industry, hopefully, and talk to some friends and see some shit. Into the tunnels.
Alright, we are here with Arius from Flex Defense, and we're interested in some new toys. So we've agreed to talk about manual scope switch, and then we got something a bit more exciting.
We got the electronic scope jacker 9000 this time.
I missed the motion.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I know you're used to it, and now you got to switch it up. Now it's just your thumb.
Future's electronic.
Yeah. So we're stoked on the system. Like, we fixed some things, didn't like the manual. There's a trade-off. There's trade-offs to everything. Manual's always going to be about 10 ounces lighter. This has two 18650 batteries in it, as well as a really badass high-precision European motor in it. So it's built to last. It's waterproof, dust-proof. It's good to go. We didn't want to make something that was like, you know, like this thing is ready for duty.
Two 18650s. What's the battery life?
So we could have powered it. Yes, we could have powered it with a CR123, but we decided, hey, you've got weight back here. Why not make this a battery bank for future applications? So you've got four USB-C link cables from Unity Tactical. So if you've seen the gas cap that Modlight has in Unity, uses the same USB-Cs. I think that's the future of cabling with weaponry. Like, I think that'll replace the crane cable, some of the other proprietary shit.
Yep.
And we'll be using USB-Cs. That's how it's connected to this guy, if you want to turn the rifle over. It's connected to the button. It's recessed and protected right here. You could also be running another button back to the stock if you're doing stuff from the prone position or you're on the barricade, PRS shit.
Exactly.
You can be charging shit literally off of here. Charge your gun connected to the wall, and you're like charging your gun. Like, you really shouldn't have to take any batteries.
Yeah. And this isn't gonna have any kind of like Bluetooth emissions or anything. It's just wired, right? You like how stuff is dumb as possible?
Yeah.
I don't have to shoot the toaster.
It's dumb. It's smart. But
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. We didn't want to have any of that junk in there. It's just nothing to give away any kind of position or anything like that. Not what you want.
We got a top dog mount. Is that like, is it an option of having a top dog, or is that the standard as a set?
We're not quite sure if it's going to come with or if it's going to be an accessory. You had to answer that. We are stoked on the height. We're able to keep it just a little bit higher than the manual scope switch.
Yeah, that was 193, right?
I think it's like 193.5 or
something. Oh, okay.
It's really close. We wanted to keep it really, you know, there. We found that this height is actually great for passive aiming under night vision, like having that height right there. And it's keeping it away from your nods instead of back of your face.
Yep.
Yeah. I really like passive shooting with my scope switch.
Yeah.
It's easy. Very easy.
And then, obviously, the thing a lot of people were sort of like wary of was all the real estate that the manual takes up. And
you can't complain anymore.
Yep, we're done.
We will always still sell the manual version. It is awesome because it is so much lighter and it's just going to be more bonkers because you don't have to have batteries, right?
It's simple.
But this system, it does allow you to power your thermal. That's actually the main reason for the battery bank. fucking powering your thermals. If you like look at some footage over at Ukraine, dudes are like packing on fucking batteries onto their stocks and shit to run their thermals. Everyone's using them over there. But a CR123, like, man, you might have a battery life of an hour, hour and a half for that thing, and that's not feasible.
Yeah. So something I really like about this, and I'm sure a lot of people are asking, what happens if the electronics fail?
Yep.
It seems like you can just
you can always
roll.
Yeah.
Be good to go.
Then you said it was a high performance mower. Like, how durable is this? Because with the manual, you guys were pouring sand into it and throwing all buildings and stuff.
It's pretty durable. Yeah. I mean, we had to make sure it was waterproof, so all this shit is like sealed inside. I wish I could kind of like show you, but it's it was a bitch to design. I'm not gonna lie. Very difficult. We actually started this at the same time we did the manual. This just has computers in it, and so it's gonna be take some more time. But we're stoked. We're stoked to work with Unity on some of the cabling here. They have the best design out there for sure.
Is this Unity right here?
No, this is our button.
Yep.
You will be able to power a gas cap, power some other cool shit that looks coming out in the future.
That's awesome.
I can't talk about, but basically the idea is to keep weight off of this part of the gun.
Yeah.
And leverage. It's not like a physics thing. You do not want weight up here. So if you can keep the batteries in this area and then just use a light head or something else, like, there's some cool shit coming.
That's badass.
I love that.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
All right, well, that's Anthony now. We go off the flux.
I thought you were giving me a handshake.
No.
I'll shake your hand. This is the Raider 365. We've been working on this bad boy for about 2 years.
I love that. It's like the size of the Glock 34
right
here.
It's fucking tiny, yeah. If you got a Glock 34, whatever, like, it really is like about the same size.
Yeah, I mean, this is a SIG SG agent, but it's about the same size with the X300.
This holster, which is IWB or OWB, Safari Land 3 holster, you can put it on your cubicle system.
That's amazing.
It is smaller than the Safari Land, so there's kind of not a... They've had holsters for the MP7 and MP5s that are fucking giant and shit like that. We really wanted this to be a shoulderable sidearm. It is something that you can legitimately put on your belt, and it gives you like a little bit more firepower.
Yeah,
I mean, a PDW as your CCW.
Yes,
that's a hell of a future.
We wanted it to be auto deploy this time. You don't have to press a button; you just pull it out. You're good.
Why? I love that.
So, and it looks cool when you do it.
Yeah, this is Cyberpunk 2077.
So we're stoked on that. If you want to, you can add a button right here to lock it out, and you have to push the button forward. That's if you're using it in like a bag, right? Or in the car, and you want to be able to have access and control.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you just put it in there, you're good to go. We'll have a suppressor compatible holster. We're stoked that we have a shroud right here. You can actually C-clamp.
Nice.
You like a lot.
Yeah,
doing that.
No. I love how comfortable it is.
It's very cool.
You can't really tell in the video, the form factor on this thing is tiny.
Yeah.
Genuinely. And you can still punch out, use it as a regular.
Yeah.
Or bring it in. That's a really
good very like, gun.
Yes.
Sorry?
Yeah, it's right clamping. Really can't. Like, with that SRO,
well,
just
I like
a little
this
higher.
Is
normal for that one. Because we did this and we had to make sure guys were going to blow off their fucking fingers.
Yep.
Yeah. We went with a longer barrel, which gives us other advantages. Obviously, velocity. So we're running a 6-inch barrel in here, which is awesome.
That's awesome.
It's longer than an MP5K, it's pretty badass. So we're stoked. If you're not using the suppressor, you're going to be using a carry size slide, and your suppress. I'm sorry. If you're not using a slide with a long shroud on it or with a barrel, your suppressor is basically going to be over the top of your gun. It should be around. There's a 4-inch suppressor from Silencer Co. they just came out with, and it's pretty much the K version is flush with the whole package, which is pretty wild.
Yeah,
it's actually smaller than a TP9 without a suppressor.
It's
actually weird.
Yeah.
Big thing.
And
it
still uses the P365 SCU.
I love it. It's not a firearm.
Yeah,
it's made out of 70-75 aluminum. It's good to go. It's super built. Made in Utah. Everything we do is in the United States. Don't believe in exporting our shit or importing our shit.
So what's kind of the timeline on both of these?
This is Q1.
Really?
Yeah.
That's too nice.
Yeah, we're excited.
Hell yeah. Yeah. We're really pushing hard on it. There'll be two different versions. The braced version This version right here, actually there's three versions, and there's an inch and a half longer stock for the dudes who are taller. I'm 6'2", I run that version. A little bit longer length of pull, and it works with the next 300.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we're stoked on this. This guy's about 2 to 3 months out as well.
Very nice. I appreciate your guys' dev time to release.
Thanks.
Yeah, we're, you don't make the public beta testing. Yeah. Unlike some people.
We don't love that. You know, we're always going to improve, and we love people's feedback, and stuff will always happen. We're always continually working on projects, but if we sell a product that's expensive, it's kind of fucked.
Yeah. Totally. Oh, yeah. We appreciate your time, man. I'll shake your hand for real this time.
Yeah, I do another podcasting.
Right. Yeah, thanks, absolutely.
Did you know he's going really into anime?
Oh. I did not know that.
Oh, now you know.
All right. We are back at the Amentu booth with Hayden from Amentu. And the other day we were vandalizing some mags here, and we're back to kind of talk about what Amentu's up to and kind of how the company's growing. So thanks for joining us, man.
Yeah, no, it's great to be here. We love magazine doodles and we love magazines, so it's just a natural fit.
Oh, yeah. No.
I'm so sorry.
When you guys apologize for nothing.
No, when you guys were like, you can vandalize some mags, I'm like,
it's
what?
Like, did you expect me to draw Goatsy on any of them?
The Goatsy did take me off guard.
No, me
like,
too.
That was a request.
As someone who was raised by the internet, though, I mean, yeah. We've all been 7 years old and exposed to Goatsy, so it, just, yes. It was a throwback.
I didn't know what Goatsy was until you exposed me to it.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, did I?
I saw some bad shit, but...
Apparently we all haven't been 7 years old and seen Goatsy.
Apparently.
I guess
have
not.
You ever been to lemonparty.org?
Oh my gosh. Anyway.
My favorite
anyway.
Party.
So, a few things. I mean, so Amentu provided like 200 magazines to me for the AZ 2A rally back in 2020. So, you know, been a big fan of kind of what the company's been up to and what you guys stand for.
Yeah.
Something I wanted to address right off the bat was we've got a Gen 3 mag now. We've got, are these the same between, like, these two, are these both? Oh,
yeah.
No, they're a little bit different. Are these both like a Gen 3, or what's kind of the story on these?
Yeah, so the clear mag you have there, that's what we call our Mod C, and so it's almost like a Gen 2.5.
Gotcha.
Improved material, but it still follows our old designer, or old body design. What you have in your left hand there, that's our Mod 3 magazine, and so that's kind of the latest and greatest that we have to offer.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something I wanted to hit on, because, like, I've had a few issues with feeding, and kind of something I wanted to make sure people were aware of was the design jump, and that there has been changes made, and we've seen some improvements kind of all across the board, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the Mod 2 magazine, so the previous gen, it's something that we've sold for years, and it's a product line we've had for a long time, but we've heard, you know, various issues with extreme hard use and having feed lips fail, or, you know, feeding issues. While we do have a lifetime warranty, and it's a very generous warranty, we're just happy to replace stuff, we still want to do right by our customers, continue to innovate, and continue to put out genuinely quality products that people can trust. And when it comes to firearms, that means trusting your life to it.
Yeah.
So that's why we made the new Mod 3 mag, improved the material, completely changed the design, all for addressing those issues.
Awesome. Hell yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And, I mean, on top of that, we've got like a SCAR heavy mag over here.
Yeah, so...
Like, that's awesome to see, because FN does not come cheap.
No, they don't. And polymer can come cheaper, at least.
Yeah. Like, how long have you guys been doing these?
So these mags have been out for a couple months now.
Yep.
Their collaboration we did with Kinetic Development Group.
Gotcha.
They make a lot of accessories for the SCAR platform. I believe it's this handguard, as well as the ACR stock adapter.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they do great stuff. And the demand for a polymer, affordable SCAR mag has been there.
Yeah.
So we brought it to the market. An interesting thing to note on these, though, is currently they follow the OEM design without an anti-tilt follower.
Mm.
Yep. We're going to be coming out with a version with anti-tilt as well.
Really?
Awesome.
Yeah,
oh,
for
yeah.
increased
That's
reliability.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, what's kind of the timeline on that?
Don't have a projected release date, but it's in the works.
Gotcha. All right, that's our first gotcha. No. aside from that, something that's really cool that you guys are getting into is these rifle chassis stocks. So can you tell us a little bit about what you were telling us the other day about what these are up to?
Yeah, so this is a system we call our Amentu modular chassis, and we really think it's going to change the game when it comes to bolt guns. The easiest way that I've been explaining it is it essentially allows you to take your barreled action and turn it into like a P320 FCU style modular system.
I love that.
Yeah.
And I said this at PSA, this is the way the industry is going.
Yeah.
One serialized part, you can move.
Yep.
Exactly that. Modularity is key these days. It's, I mean, the economy. It's so expensive to exist. Why would you buy many things when you could buy one thing, right?
Absolutely.
No, but to quickly explain how it works, we have a machined mini chassis that a barrel action will mount directly into. It's going to be machined to your barreled action, right? And then we have cam pins in the bottom, right there and right there. And with a 180 degree turn, you can pop the barreled action out of this stock and into any of our other stocks. We have a carbon fiber option, a full metal bench chassis that we're doing in collaboration with American Defense Manufacturing.
Nice.
All of these barreled actions can swap into all these stocks, and there's no loss of zero, there's no loss of bedding.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's the big thing, is one gun can be many now.
Yes.
Yeah.
I change your hunting gun to a PRS gun and back.
Precisely, and you don't even have to think about your zero. Yeah. You're just there, yeah.
And what are the kind of main actions and systems that these are being built for? Like, how many systems can we branch out to with this?
No, it's a great question. And obviously our ideal answer is every system,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because even if you have four different bolt rifles of four different manufacturers, they're all going to go to the same core stocks.
Yeah.
We're going to start out with Remington 700 short action.
Naturally?
Yeah, and it converts it to take our AICS magazines. And then we have long action plans, all sorts of brands. We actually have a full projected list of brands we're planning on working with. You guys can find on our website.
That's
amazing. Too exhausted for me to list.
Yeah, honest. No, good.
Yeah.
Well, that'll just be like a list across the screen.
Now going across the screen, all the names of the companies that we're going to work with.
Sorry, Phil. Well, no, awesome, man. Thank you for going over that with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really excited to see what you guys are getting up to.
We sure appreciate it, guys. Please come back and draw on all of our things.
Of course.
Yeah. Yes. We will vandalize
all of your magazines.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Hell yeah. All right. Thank you, man.
And day four of SHOT Show, we are here with Lowlight Innovations, and none of our feet work.
None.
We are basically non-verbal, non-mobile. We're dying.
I didn't bring any moleskin. I'm in so much pain.
We have here Claude and Giuseppe.
What's up, guys?
Nice to meet you guys.
Oh my gosh. We're gonna die.
Fucking dead, dude.
Why do people like this?
Why do people like this? Every time I leave SHOT Show, I'm like, dude, I miss SHOT Show. We need to go back. Day four of SHOT Show, I'm like, I'm going to kill myself.
Next year, mobility scooters.
Yeah, it's little rascals
all
for
over
everyone.
The place.
Next year, suicide hangers that will support our weight in your booth.
That's a good idea.
Holy yeah.
Shit. We need some real infrastructure so we can nice and
real
quick.
Infrastructure.
Yeah. We're gonna engineer this shit.
Hell yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, what do we got going on, guys?
Well, so this year we had our MH1 housing at our booth. It's a new modular magnesium housing. Got a lot of traction with it. Got a lot of great feedback from all of you guys. So we're super thankful everybody came out and checked it out. The entirety of this assembly completely disassembles to make your system completely modular. You can remove the battery portion, put on a AA. You can take off this screw right here in the rear, and you can make this a monocular if you want. There's unlimited possibilities with the system. Rotational shutoff, IPD stops, etc.
I love it. And people have been making camera housings, like DSLR housings out of magnesium for ages, and they're strong as fuck. You just don't see it very often, which is weird. I'm glad you guys are finally doing it.
Well, we appreciate that. Yeah, it's not something that's really been done before in the industry. And the reason why it hasn't been done is strictly because it's a difficult thing to do. So when it comes down to it, you know, it's in our name. We like innovating. We like creating products that the consumer actually wants, and consumers, it benefits them at the end of the day. We want this system to be completely future-proof, so you never need to replace this system. It's one system fits all, and you never have to sell it because you're sacrificing a feature.
I love that. You guys have come so far in the amount of time. Full disclosure, I've known these guys for quite a while, and it's been seeing you guys go from, like, two guys in, like, a very small workshop to dealing with, like, having Elvin and
massive company here who was talking to you guys,
like realizing your potential and seeing your company expand in real time. And that's part of the reason I love SHOT Show.
I really don't think we actually are here right now. I think it's a fever dream.
Yeah,
it very well could be.
Snapped it like 4 years.
Am I tripping?
Like,
tripping?
No.
is there something in the air? Because I'm feeling something.
That's just the Vegas water, dude.
Oh, God.
Oh, shit. I drank the hotel water.
Oh, no. Never drank the hotel.
I drank the hotel water.
Dude, you're going to die.
Dude, I drank like 4 cups of that shit.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. Why would you do that?
I don't know. Dude, I was really thirsty last night. There's no mini bar in the hotel for some reason, so I just drank the hotel water.
You're going to die.
Yeah, it's going to be the last doctor.
It's a nice.
Is it that bad?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Now you know that. Dude, don't. What?
Dude, I drink water in the Czech Republic from the hotel. I think I'll be fine. Hopefully.
How are you alive?
Holy fuck.
Know. Why would you
Maybe
do that?
Some Soviet
not.
Pipes.
Yeah. Jeez, my feet really do fucking hurt.
Dude, have you checked the bottom for blisters?
I
don't
want to
look.
Yeah.
I'm afraid.
I got blisters like this on my pinkies.
It's
kind of
hot. It's kind of hot.
I don't know. Like, I got to stop the OnlyFans feet pics for like 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, maybe someone's into that. Don't kink shame.
Maybe. But I don't want to alienate my regular viewers, you know?
Oh, for sure.
My yeah. cool.
You know, my core audience.
The regulars.
See, then we're going to start doing some night vision OF stuff.
Oh, yes. That is like real niche market shit.
That's actually what we're about to go and shoot in the desert.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Just feet clinging, the latest and greatest night vision, like...
Hell yeah.
Activating lasers with your big toe.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Gonna be, it's gonna be real
You're
nice.
You're gonna turn someone on.
Oh yeah, someone.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to, you mentioned you'll be able to bridge that with a thermal or similar?
So there's some talks of trying to adapt into some thermal stuff, maybe digital. But this ecosystem, we pretty much want to have endless possibilities. Like Claude said, there are so many options you can do with this, and... We pretty much want to push the limits of what you could do with these devices, and pretty much I really lost my train of thought.
Oh, dude, it's okay.
I'll pick
day
up
four.
Where
day four.
Day four.
I'll pick up where he left off. So the entire goal of this is to, as the market adapts to new technologies, we can adapt them to this modular system so that, you know, you don't have to just go out and buy a new housing. You can just buy the new accessory, the latest and greatest. If you want, sell the old accessory, right? Recoup some of that money. We want this to be a good investment for the consumer, so it's not like a brand new Mercedes-Benz you buy that loses 50% of its value when you drive it off the lot. It's an adaptable solution. It's modular, it's rugged, and it's ultra lightweight, and it's good for the consumer. Oh my God, of course I'm getting a call during the... And it's loud as fuck too.
So rude.
Well, if you want, we can. If you want to take that call, we can move over
no,
to
it's
the
okay.
thermal.
We're,
okay.
No, we're good.
Fuck them if they can't take a joke.
Wait, what?
Actually,
dude, everything's I'm going over my head right now,
it's
man. I'm way too tired.
Don't worry about
we
it.
Can
it's
bring
a video.
We can bring
cut
that.
Things.
Oh, cool.
It's gonna be cut to hell.
Cool, cool.
Let's do this guy. Hey, can undo the mount. This is all going in there. All the shenanigans.
Absolutely.
Okay, and then we got this bad Larry. So this is a prototype at thermal clip-on. It's using a dual sensors. This thing is freaking incredible. I believe it's called the Phoenix.
Yep.
Yeah, the Phoenix. This is a prototype. It's 1 of 5, and it is by far the most impressive thermal system I've seen, and I can't wait for the advances with it and the goals they're shooting to for the system. There's so many new things that they're presenting, and I can't wait to play around with it. Actually, have you given it a try?
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. We aimed at some suits earlier.
Oh yeah.
I think they appreciated that.
Yeah. Just flag everyone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's the name of the game. I shot. Like,
yeah.
I love it.
Nathan, someone was like looking through a pistol sight, and they just aim at his head and track
and they're, like,
him
tracking
as he's
me.
Moving.
Yeah.
Like, I get looking through a thermal at people a ways away, but he was like 10 meters away, and the guy's like.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, like, dude.
Let's fucking get him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, you want to see mine?
I think a fun
Not
shot to a prank would just be like set off a shot timer and see how many people draw from the pistol. So they're not supposed to be carrying, but who gives a fuck?
We really should have been doing that.
Yeah.
The one thing I wanted to get into was what's kind of the base pricing for the night vision?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. So another thing we look for at Lola Innovations when we're making a product is price. The price has to be right for the consumer because we get that night vision is expensive. This is the most affordable metal housing. It's going to be $19.99 retail price for the base configuration of the housing. If you want to, you buy accessories, we're going to try and keep them as affordable as possible for you guys. Again, trying not to gouge the market, trying to make systems affordable so that you guys can configure it however you want. Just a little brief overview on features I may have missed. You have two IR illuminators right here in the hinge on the production model, one low power, one high power, onboard manual gain via 4-pin direct plug-in, no modification of tubes necessary. You have modular power supply, you have modular mounting interfaces, so you can run dovetail, ball detent, pretty much whatever you want.
You bayonet guys out there?
Yeah, right, if you want to do bayonet. Modular pods for binoculars and modular lenses as well. It extends way past that, but dude, I couldn't possibly tell you about the whole system even like an hour.
That's awesome. It's what's been your favorite thing about SHOT Show so far as a business owner and as just a consumer?
Sitting on the floor.
Honestly, well, yes, sitting on the floor is one of them. Honestly, it's just seeing the reaction from people when they see these new products and, you know, they see how far companies come, and you hit on that earlier. It's, we started as two guys on a kitchen table 4.5 years ago now, and it's just incredible the growth we've seen. I never thought that it would make it this far.
It's been amazing to see, just from the outside.
I really appreciate that, man. It's unreal. It's unreal, and I want to thank all of our customers that have supported us. I mean, you guys are awesome. I'm sure there's some of you that are going to be watching this, but yeah, that's probably my favorite thing.
And all the friends that have helped us along the way, helped us get us going.
100%.
The real adventures, the friends you make along the way.
Yeah, you know, like this shot was fun. Definitely, like Claude said, with every all the interest in it. Honestly, personally, my favorite part, got my tattoo, so I have a permanent memory.
Hey, what'd you end up getting?
Double odd buck.
Hey!
Hey. This is a Low Light Innovations podcast.
So, do I have to say, sponsored by, Kellogg or something like that next?
Yes. Sponsored by John Harvey Kellogg.
Actually, no, we should. You know what we should close out with, Nathan?
What?
Dad advice.
Dad advice.
Dad advice.
Give us some dad advice.
Give the listeners some dad advice.
All right, well, so, you know, I am a 20-year-old, not a dad, but, what do I have? What do I have? I didn't like my mustache at first, but it really grew on me.
Hey. Claude, you've got ferrets. You're a dad, technically.
I am a dad. I am a dad to two ferrets. my best dad advice, sometimes take the path of least resistance in life.
Lock them in a cage or something?
I'm trying to find my words.
Don't shit in your washer tray.
It's day four.
So bad.
Honestly, path of least resistance. If somebody bothers you, if somebody, you know, talks shit to you, let it go. It's not worth it. Don't engage. If somebody puts you down, just let it go. Do your own thing. At the end of the day, that's what matters.
I like that.
I like that. Yeah.
Very, very wholesome ending to SHOT.
I want to hear a dad joke from Nathan.
Hey.
Oh, yeah, come on.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Oh, no.
You have to now.
That's the problem. I always have them, but whenever someone asks me, I can't.
Well, that's what we do to people, so you owe it to the viewers to also be put on the spot.
But it's not a dad joke, it's dad advice.
No, but
it's two totally different.
You can also, you're being put on the spot. Go.
God damn it. God damn it.
I got another one. You ever hear about the restaurant on the moon?
No, tell me.
Amazing food, but terrible atmosphere.
Hey.
Oh, yeah. Got him, yeah.
Got him. He got two. You got none.
I got none.
Fuck you. All right. Out.
It's day four.
No, thank you so much, guys. Oh,
thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you guys.
Thank
too.
You. Yeah, yeah, so good to have you.
Appreciate you guys.
Yeah. Dude.
Oh, we're crossing thank hands you. Now.
Yeah, we're crossing beams.
Dollars of America. Dude, I will walk into pawn shops and people don't buy bags of pawn shops. And the people who sell their guns to pawn shops also don't use their guns.
No.
So they were like new.
Brand new.
It's like, they got I walked in and they had a bunch of mags, $10 to $15. And I asked them, hey, what will it cost if I buy all of these right now? They gave me a total number and mathematically came down to like 8 points each. What about all?
Yeah. My first, I was here in the country for like 3 months and I got a 19th novella and a Punisher plug in the bottom. I was like, this has clearly never been shot. Not aggressive.
Thanks for coming on. Thank you for meeting up with us in your very deep shot show. This is the worst copy of the bank.
Yeah, that's the best audio of government in Hawaii.
Currently, the Asian Hotel.
Yeah.
Holy shit. We did this thing last year where we tried to guest fight people.
Yeah.
And that all black coffee is insane. All coffee comes to the same place.
Yeah.
We got people believing it. Hey, take it back. Can't make them joke about this shit. This is like dog water.
That's why I drink beer.
That's why. We gotta go to European guests. Yeah.
So, y'all, sitting down with Yari, I don't like him.
I've been saying that I was abusing
the
night of the party.
Yeah.
At the Mo Museum.
Where's the liquor?
Yeah. Kind of. There's a process to learn. You first say several times, where's the liquor? Then you sharpen it down, what was the liquor? It has the same kind of tone and rhythm. You just sharpen it down, where's the liquor? That's how we teach people. And my colleague Yuri, who is a bit autistic, he kind of has his favorite word to intimidate foreigners. That is the actual word. And straight translation is ice cream cone saleswoman.
I completely lost you there.
And we were talking shit in our hotel room when Paige was hanging out with us, and we kind of did the word Paige, and she was like, what the fuck? Can I say fuck in this? Paige took her scribble pad and he needed to make a patch out of it. And he did the initial draft of the ice cream saleswoman, like pin-up in the banana split boat with the RK and all the bells and whistles. So we're definitely doing that patch. And it has the, like, as a commercial text, like some pieces would have, it has that, and that's gonna be a cool patch.
That's fucking awesome. I love that you guys aren't dumbing down your brand for the American market. You guys are like, blowing up over here. It's like, we all finished. We will accept our language. This is what we are.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Have you seen the movie Sisu?
Yeah, I saw it.
It's really fucking. That's all I.
I have to mention this.
Yeah, because it's a really good movie. How am I not seeing it?
Yeah,
I'll recommend. I've never heard.
It's like all finished by John Wick.
Yeah. It's the finished version of John Wick.
It's really, really good.
When's it from, like, 90s or 80s?
No, it's really good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's very good. And when the guys were visiting us in Finland during the Finnish brutality, we went to that bomb park, and they had the replica of Stuka in there. Which was in a movie, which was threatened, you know. That was in the bomb park. And I think Admin Results and Blue Gene Operator took the pictures, like, should we buy this? And, you know, the car salesman and meme, like, slapping. I don't know, it's for some of the people, it might be a controversial. But it has certain geometrical thingies, but like, it's not a big deal.
It's a
problem.
From a movie.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of those people die.
Yeah.
It's a good fucking movie.
Yeah.
Go watch Sisu.
Another good movie, which has the kind of the international kind of distribution, is the latest version of Unknown Soldier.
I haven't heard of it.
Yeah. I think you can find it in Netflix. Hulu, whatever, Unknown Soldier, and that's kind of a base layer of Finnish mentality, because We had the war with the Russians, in a winter war and continuation war, and the one of the main novels on the BBs was written, like, really kind of ugly truth of the war. Like, it wasn't only the heroic story, it was pretty grim. So there are several movies made of it, and I think the movie from 50s or 60s, which was made by Edwin Leine, that's pretty legit. And then the latest one, based on that novel, Unknown Soldier, it's pretty epic. And I think we did, we did the fair share of the kind of a garden for that from what we have in our collection.
How's business been
about
near your
order? Holy shit. 2022 was like, money was just pouring in because we entered the war economy. And Ukraine was going a lot. There was a lot of this private kind of a health project to get stuff to Ukraine. So we got the fair share of that. But at the same time, the whole supply chain went broken because Western government pushed support for Ukraine, but they need to replenish their own stuff like ballistic protection, medical gear, you name it. So what happened is that prices went up, availability went down. So despite of that, we made a good money on 2022, but last year was a bit of a struggle because people started to forget the war, and the Ukraine got their supply chain like as it should be, depending on some random store in Finland. So what happened is that the sales dropped. Of course, the figures were enormous from 2022, so they're not comparable, but we lost for the previous year. That's not a big deal, but big deal was that because the supply chain is broken and the prices inflated, we tied too much cash on the inventory to at least get something. And the prices were like roses, like 30 pieces. And when the decline came, we were really thin on cash. So we need to kind of restructure the company a bit and get our costs down and drive the inventory levels down. It was really hard work and not the most pleasant job to do as a CEO. And it was stressful for the team, but the guys did a great job. And now we are back on track. Our profit and loss statement is healthy. We are back on the growth. All the craziness with the supply chain starts to kind of stabilize, so all good now. But last year was like,
we've done a lot of that.
Yeah.
From the power industry, especially. I think Mike from the agency put a good point. I talked to Mike on some of the local networks about it a little bit. It's hard. Sorry, the government's going on. The scares the basically the boom of 2020 to 2021.
Yeah. I have spoken with all the our partners and suppliers, and everybody has a bit cautious outlook, which is kind of good that people have a realistic expectation. But at the same time, I think that as an industry, we should also believe that if we do right things, there will be demand. And
start a proxy war.
Yeah. But kind of, I have a positive outlook. This year won't be a success, a great. But next year will be probably better if the kind of the interest rates come down, inflation, so we get somehow stabilized.
Well, all that going on, it's also kind of like the civilian interest, like I said, blown up. It's been serving where all these crazy things happen over in Ukraine, as well as the kind of boom of the civilian market over here and sort of Europe too.
Yeah. at our home market in Finland, because we have a universal service that all the males need to go to the either military service or civil service, and the women can opt in. So our defense system is based on reserve. So when the war started, many of the reservists kind of upgraded their kit, kind of
mainly,
yeah, and now it's kind of brought also a lot of new people into the game that are going to probably upgrade their kit gradually over the years. That's a good thing. In the US market, I think that this prepare civilian mindset or whatever you want to call it. I think that's picking on and it serves us well. I think there's a lot of unmet market for us because I think our gear is, it's not cheap, but it's relatively affordable. Like you get the fairly good stuff with a decent price, and we believe that we continue to grow in the US. In the Finnish and let's say European market, I think the war kind of shook people up that maybe I should have something. Like even if you wouldn't be like a researcher or tier one operator, whatnot, but like there is just a big power outage. Do I have a warm pole? Do I have a camping stove to do
it?
Yeah.
It's becoming very real for me. I mean, you know, people in the trenches, like a few hundred miles away from where they live, it's no longer like people are becoming more gear conscious of, yeah, if I have to live out of my backpack, my issue might not be up there.
Yeah. And in Finland, like, also, the defense forces are. It used to be when things were more mellow, it was like, yeah, you need to use the issued kit and all that kind of pieces and bullshit. But nowadays, it's more free that if you are in the reserves, you know your job, your specific job in your unit, kind of try to look like even a closely a soldier, but then anything goes. Of course, for a conscript, for obvious reasons, you are learning the ropes, so you do what you are told. But when you once you're researchers, people are tend to value the comfort and easiness, so they upgrade.
It's like just be effective rather than play this.
Yeah.
I remember really back in the day, just during training. I'd take rails were just becoming a bit of a thing. So I used a scope mounted attached to like a light from armor or Canadian time to my rifle. And then like sergeants are going out, hold on.
Do you do that?
This is like the late 2000s. I remember that. And then someone eventually came down and went like, you can't do that.
It's funny, I did my service 1997 to 1998. World was just totally different.
Totally different.
And there wasn't that much of the kind of software good gear available at that time, even though you would be like your own mom's home basement commando, you couldn't get stuff. But what we did already at that time was your own hiking boots, own underwear, really merino wool, and your own rucksack. Because the issued ones were good, but you know, once you have your own preferences, and it was good to go at that time. After you have done the basics and you are in kind of in a unit, it was just, but it was totally different. I couldn't imagine that I would go to the exercises with basically everything my own and just issued rifle, issued radios, crypto, and everything. Like thinking back like that time, like the world was just so different. Yeah.
I think the concept of transactional also didn't exist as much. Not the same way.
Yeah. I think so.
I think Red Beard Daniel had a good talk about that.
kind of like off the conveyor belt instead of thinking of yourself as all the
But when you have things generally issued to you, it's coming from bureaucrats.
Yeah.
I don't know how it is in a lot of the world, but in Canada, that's entirely like.
Last time we had you on the show, you talked about the stateside, at least a branch to stateside. How's that looking? Kind of referring back to what we talked about, the economical situation, we paused on the plans a bit, but it's still very relevant because US and Canada, like the North, I almost said North Africa, North America, it's biggest kind of the market in the military and outdoors. So there's a lot of what to win. And we already have the legal entity here, so in a paper drawer company, but no actions, and now we're investigating the options to first bring a distribution center here, because now we're sending each individual packet from Helsinki to wherever, like Texas, freaking Montana. It's expensive. And so the distribution center would be the first. And then once that stabilizes, we check the options. Do we do the purchasing department here, focusing on sourcing some of the US stuff, or even opening the maybe a retail location somewhere? Probably through partnership, because, you know, it's. You need to have local knowledge. But those plans are still relevant, which are supposed to be because of the money is so expensive. We were a bit of the dire straits with our financials. So I think if everything goes as planned, we should have something operational going on by end of 2025. Yeah. And it's funny, still, even in this show, people came to ask me that how is our store doing in Arizona, which was April's full rent back in the day when we said that we rented the retail space from some abandoned mall in Arizona.
To say that, they're a company in Idaho, near where they did that.
Yeah.
It's a gun store, the Black Sheep. And then they bought a dying mall. Each of their department in that mall. Each little store. It's like a store devoted to things. Store devoted to like water, like water related activities, like fishing and boating. Like what one entire area of guns. And it's amazing. That entire mall.
Oh. And we're back.
Say the worst opinion you have. What were they doing down there?
What were they doing in the tunnels?
Why did they have tunnels under New York? Sorry. Okay.
No, once again, gang, we have technical issues with every single episode, so happy days. Bear with us, but we are back.
Sorry, the ATF kicked the door in, you know, they had us all in cuffs, and unfortunately the camera got broken.
Yeah, that's...
Shit happens.
Yeah, we didn't have any dogs, so they just had left.
Yeah, they were... Oh, really? The babies are dogs? Okay. not interested. But what were we on about? We were on about the kind of Federal School Act in the U.S.
You have that pronunciation fucking down, Matt.
It's probably rough. In two areas, you're like, oh.
I have heard the it's an every variation.
Yeah.
I want to hear like the most Texan man you've ever come across. Very stupid.
Everything goes. But even for things like you get the misspelled versions quite often. And my favorite is varustekala.
Oh wow!
Which is literal translation is gear fish.
Fuck yeah!
Yeah,
that's like
no, we're used to it. No problem.
Yeah, that's a Finnish Bass Pro right there.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah. Something I wanted to ask about was kind of something I've noticed over the years, having been in the US, is the US market's interest in European gear. It's really interesting to me because there's, you know, this country has been in quite a few wars,
yeah.
And there is so much gear and so many different environments that surplus has been made for. And yet there is like such a demand for all of the interesting European solutions that have come about. Like, what do you make of that kind of interest in problem solving from the US market?
I think the grass is greener always on the
yeah.
side of the pond. And for example, myself, I'm a great fan of all the Tiger Strain.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh man, yes.
Yeah.
Metal Gear Solid 3.
Yeah. You said it. So I think it ties a lot back to that.
Yeah.
What comes to the military surplus, the European, East European, whatever, it's exotic here.
Mm.
But same way, the US surplus is rare and not rare, but not easily acquirable and kind of interesting back in home.
Yeah.
So that's why we buy US surplus in our inventory.
That's interesting.
Which is funny that many of the US customers buy the US surplus from us, which is, I think, fucking retard that. Yeah. But we make money, we get stuff, everybody happy, I don't complain. I think the our products and, like, in general, European products, like, have a fairly good reputation from the production-wise that we weren't that aggressive of getting everything in China and Europe. So many of the kind of good quality gear companies have their manufacturing in Europe. So that's one point. Another one is the design, especially in the clothing. I think there's a slight difference. Like Europe, especially Finnish design is more sleek, simplistic.
Yep.
And US designs have more features. They have a pocket here, a pocket there.
Yeah, everything's modular as hell because it's being issued to a massive amount of people.
So, and also the sizing differs a lot. So certain people find it our products like kind of exotic in a cool way.
Yeah.
Finland also has a fairly good reputation among US people. Like, we have always considered to be like allies, and we have an interesting war history, so that plays into our advantage. So I think those are the factors which kind of gives kind of the baseline how you can be successful. For US market, for example, what we sell is mostly all the merino wool.
Yeah.
I think
you guys would know woolen layers.
Yeah. Yeah. Cold weather gear, knives, and then European surplus. That's kind of how it usually plays.
That's interesting. The manufacturing quality is something I've noticed. Like, my main rug at the minute is a Dutch DPM bag from, like, I guess the early 2000s. And what I kind of learned about that was it was basically just a solid, I think you guys have
sold those. Yeah, like, we have had
110 liters of the rock.
Yeah, that one, big one.
Yeah,
it's a good one.
Yeah. And like, what I heard was that was from basically a hiking company.
Yeah.
And so civilian market had already figured out the problem.
Yeah.
And then just make it from this material.
Yeah.
And I think it was proliferated across a few, that backpack design was across a few different nations.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like, compared to, I don't know if it's like kind of the number of people like it issued this stuff is what like changes the quality level between US gear and smaller European militaries. It seems quality is rather than, I'm sure there's still lowest bidder stuff going on,
it is.
But it seems like very different levels of like how many pennies can we pinch?
Yeah, I think there's those factors in play. And for example, in Finnish military, the durability is the key because we have a conscription system.
Yeah.
So the same stuff rotates through the conscripts several years. So it really needs to be durable.
Yeah, yeah.
Swiss has a bit same mentality and they are bathing in money. So Swiss gear is like, you look at it like, God damn it, that that is an expensive jacket.
Yeah.
And they have a bit same thing that they have a universal service, so they rotate several times. The quality needs to be in place. I think the many of the US gear, like especially if you look like the Marine Corps and some of the Army stuff is pretty legit, especially Marine Corps.
Absolutely.
Those lovely crayon eaters, like if you give them a shit, they just destroy it. So
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just like Nathan.
Yeah.
You give him an acro and he's like,
but it took 2 months.
Yeah.
I have no idea how.
But I think the in a European manufacturing, like it never totally died out, so there's some heritage to do it. It's sad to say, but a lot of the craftsmanship has been lost when both in the US and Europe we switched to the kind of far shoring, like freaking China, Vietnam.
Yeah.
And their factories are like so good. They have the latest technology,
yeah.
They have the most knowledge, and that's sad.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can roll that back in a smart manner.
Yeah. You guys do like kind of what's the split between surplus and original gear from you guys, kind of percentage wise?
Yeah. Our sales mix comes from three different components. Components was founded in a surplus.
Yeah.
So in the beginning, it was 100% surplus.
Yeah.
Nowadays, 20 years later, it's like 12% of our turnover.
Nice.
Yeah. But that's important 12% because people expect to find it. We love it to sell.
Yeah.
We love surplus. Like freaking, we have really crazy shit,
yeah.
You know, our collection. So we just love it. So it's a like an image creating thingy.
Yeah.
Most of our turnover is coming our own products. It's like 60%. And the rest is supplier brands, something what we don't like to do ourselves or we don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
Like firearms, accessories, shoes.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, if you can't be the
sleeping
best
system,
yeah.
Where there is already great companies we like to work with.
Yeah.
And so that's roughly the sales mix.
Thanks. That's something that's really interesting about surplus companies is, or at least people that start off as surplus companies, is like using that to start off and then building out like,
yeah,
well, we understand this stuff now and there's the stuff that's not out there. And
yeah,
it's kind of something we were talking about to a few surplus people last night at the cry party. Was like, you proliferate that stuff, you get people interested in the gear, and then once you build up that reputation, you then expand to the actual experienced users looking for, like,
yeah,
like very not boutique solutions, but well thought out,
yeah,
end user solutions.
That's a smart way, and that's the route what we have gone through.
Yeah.
And the challenge with the surplus market is that you can't plan it ahead.
Yeah.
Like, you get what you get at certain point of time. So it's a pretty stressful business.
Yeah.
So kind of building the continuous growth or desired growth and profitability with that, it's harder.
Yeah.
And of course, like in our case, when kind of we grew over a certain point and saw that people want to do business with us, it was obvious that we need to have a continuous assortment, what we control, not the market. So that led to the strategy that we started the own brands, started to invest a lot of time and money to them, and now it kind of bears the fruit.
It's, yeah, I mean, like you said, Bro Select has been going how long?
20 years.
20 years.
Yeah, first founded 2003. And everybody who says that, hey, their logo looks like a Tesla's logo, we had the logo first, we're going to sue Tesla.
Yeah. It's also not a T.
Yeah. Yeah, what is the logo? Like, what's its origin?
It's a hammer from an ancient Finnish god.
Oh, cool.
Ukko.
Hell yeah.
It's Ukko was like a Thor, but more savage and like violent freaking
beast. Very cool.
Yeah. And the name is straight translation is gear hammer or gear sledge. And that ties to the wordplay in a Finnish slang that you can say that you have a hammer full of something, which means that you have a shitload of something. So we have a shitload of hard to explain, but that's kind of the brief history of the logo and word.
Yeah, it translates.
Yeah.
I can't tell if his eyes are open. I have to get my legs in.
Yeah. You have to get a look. One second. Oh, I need some of this. Yeah. Dog tea coffee.
Redacted.
Redacted. Just one second.
I saw your phone light up earlier. I was like,
yes. Oh, nope. Have you played the game Alan Wake?
Yeah.
Alan Wake 2?
Not the 2. Okay. The original when it came out.
Yeah, the second one's really good. And it ties in with Finnish mythology.
Yeah.
It's like Ahti, the god of water. It's interesting.
Yeah. Hey. Some of the guys...
unrelated to...
Some guys who were in development teams. There was at least one guy I went to high school together.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he was freaking weird kid. He just stayed in the house and kind of coded and
he became a video game developer.
Yeah, and like freaking 30 years later he's billionaire.
That's awesome. I actually love that scene.
Yeah.
So
Definitely growing up, like spending all my time in the woods, and you're like, oh, I can't imagine being behind a computer all day. And now these guys are like billionaires. You're like, shit. I mean, playing with sticks was awesome, but
I should have paid more attention. Yeah. I should have gotten to coding.
Yeah.
Chase your fucking bliss, guys.
Yeah, that stuff is all AI now.
Oh,
like you know the whole. I don't know if you heard about this, but in the US, there's like a big thing going around. I think during the pandemic, where it's like, learn to code, and you'll be fine. And then, like, 2 years later, it's like...
Like, you can code in ChatGPT?
Yeah.
Play for you?
I do coding with ChatGPT. I don't know shit about coding.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, sorry, guys. I just did, like, a 3-year degree in coding and...
Yeah.
Done.
I earned a lot of this, too. It's like... It's taking over the jokes.
Eventually.
Yeah.
It's going to. Except for gear. They all have big gear. Maybe. Maybe. the gear will be used to fight the AI because at that point Skynet will have bombed everyone. We're going to the sewers. Yeah, I've seen Terminator, the documentary.
Yeah.
James Cameron documentary.
Yeah.
What's James Cameron? The guy.
Well, famous documentaries is have the.
He's got the documentary Titanic. He's got Avatar with the blue people.
Yeah.
ICU. That was a good documentary.
Oh, God. Start on film. Jared's just like, what the hell are we going on?
It's just one of my weirdest bits.
So, how's the shop been for you this year?
Yes.
It's been busy. We have been in the country almost 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We first went to meet Ian from Forgotten Backpacks.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like hanging around.
No, like, we've been like, within 10 meters of Ian multiple times.
Yeah, I never want to be rude.
I don't want to be that guy that's like, gun Jesus!
Yeah. No, he loves it, dude. That's really? Yeah.
Okay, I never want to be like, hey, hello, person. We've developed this parasocial relationship. I know everything about you.
Yes. He's a super chill guy, and I really like to work with him, and we're good friends. And I think if you can kind of... do some practical joke for him or kind of build a cartoon about him or something, he would highly appreciate it.
Yeah, that would be good. I like it.
We saw his collection, which is magnificent, and then we did some photo shoots and shooting machine guns and the basic stuff, what you do in Arizona. And then we went to the Phoenix, hang around there with some of the people and got some business. Came here. And SHOT Show has been like, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
Whole day show floor meetings, then quick shower, food, party, wake up, hangover,
getting
your bearings. And I had a bit rough start for a show. Like on one day evening, I had the 40 degree Celsius fever.
Oh.
And my colleagues were like, hey, you are out, you're stay put.
Yeah.
And I was a bit worried that do I have something very serious.
Sure.
Yeah, so I made this social experiment that I went to familiarize myself with the United States healthcare system.
Oh no.
And that was fucking interesting.
Yeah.
What happened? Yeah, I contacted my insurance company, travel insurance, and they kind of squared everything. Like, you go there, it's all taken care of.
Yeah.
Just show up, show your card and all that. I went to the kind of the medical care station.
Yeah.
The lobby was spooky.
Can you, like, and this isn't just meant to feed me thing. Do you have urgent care centers in Finland?
We have a universal health care for older people.
Okay.
And
Does it work?
It works fairly well.
Because I come from Canada, very universal health care. But if you walk in with, like, a broken leg, they just slide a gun across the
No.
Have you ever considered euthanization?
It actually works.
Okay.
It works actually really well. So the kind of waiting room was pretty spooky.
Yeah.
It was like, it's kind of different than
a guy on fire and a guy missing a limb, bleeding on the floor.
Yeah. It was pretty. And once I went to the counter, and the lady was really nice to me, and I explained that, you know, I have a fever and sore throat, and here's my insurance, and check it out, find it from the system. But then comes the fun part. In order to process you need to fill this kind of pile of paper.
Oh my God.
And I need to make a reservation on your credit card. And I was like, hey, you have insurance. But it's like, it will be kind of refunded. So it was $230 like up front. I was like, cool, no problem. And I filled the paperwork. Like, there was a lot of I consent. And that's something what doesn't happen in Finland.
Yeah.
Sign
away my firstborn child.
Yeah. And then I was getting to the treatment. I got the whole nine yards, like blood work, the kind of they scrub my throat and nose and height, weight, everything, which was really professional, really cool. But funny thing was, every time I need to consent on things. Do you consent that we take your weight?
Oh,
do you consent that we measure your height?
Absolutely not. I am 6 foot on the dot, and no one will tell me otherwise.
Can we draw blood from you? And I was like, I came here to fix my problem. Do whatever you want for me, because that's why I'm here.
You guys know best.
Yeah.
What do you need from me?
I was signing those freaking doctor's lines in every corner. That was so.
Just know that, like, all of those are because someone along the way, but like, I didn't consent to having a
blood
draw.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
Because those people were trying to help me, and they were super nice. I got good treatment. I had a slight bacterial infection in my throat. Nothing contagious, nothing. Because the air is so dry. So, you know, when you don't have muscus and the germs went through, I got something because holes are filthy. They gave me the antibiotics, painkillers. I was good to go next time.
Yeah.
Really good service. I don't know how it goes for average person without the magic part, but the amount of paperwork and bureaucracy and craziness was like, I was like,
yeah, you're sitting there feeling like shit, just like, In Canada, it's like you give them your card, and like you sign all the paper, and like it's okay, you're good. And then they slide a gun across the table. And they're like, do it, pussy. I have a solution for you.
Yeah.
You're feeling a little sad today.
Yeah.
I got a broken leg. Do it. Fucking do it.
But it was an interesting experience, but I'm really happy about the service I got. I got back in the game. I was good to go next day. I was really worried that if I have something contagious or like fatal or whatever, but pretty good. I got back to the show and it will be smooth sailing.
That's awesome.
It's a great experience. Now I know how
you won't be terrified of it.
Yeah.
Well, you heard it here first, people. Yari was patient zero for the Shaw Show Circus in 2024.
Yeah, you can blame me. World ends.
Yeah.
It definitely wasn't all the drinking and all the, you know, everyone running their system down eating junk.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Yari.
Yeah.
You see anything cool here this year?
Anything change the game?
Change
no,
the game.
No. I'm over that. I think on a textile and a gear side, it's really hard to come up something which blows your mind. Yeah. There were several cool materials, like the laminates are getting lighter, stronger, easier to cut and kind of weld and do that. That's behind the scenes, but like a normal person wouldn't appreciate it's like nerdy stuff.
Yeah, like, oh, this is lighter now. I don't care why.
Yeah. then there was kind of a some of the mounts. The mounts game has been crazy, like all those risers and height risers.
You need a 4-inch riser.
Yeah. But there was one company who had the really cool kind of, or actually two, that when you have that riser mount, they had the, one had the M-lock attachments there and one had the proprietary kind of that.
TSR was talking.
Yes, that you can kind of mount the laser in like close where your red dot is.
Yeah.
And you get the weight on the center of the gun and you have a free real estate for your grip. That was kind of a simplistic, good kind of design, and nothing too crazy, like freaking bronze everywhere. And I think that might have a merit. What else? I think I have mostly checked the clothing and gear.
Yeah.
I think some of the gear companies had kind of took a step back and how can we make it even more simplistic manner?
Yeah.
That has been a good trend because in one stage you had the full modularity and buckles everywhere and
pockets and everything.
Yeah. I think everything is already like invented. We just need to find the kind of the right balance of the features and usability. For me and most of my colleagues, is the most interesting part is the supplier showcase before the actual SHOT Show, where you have the materials and manufacturers. Mm-hmm. So we spent most of the time there.
Yeah.
But I probably this afternoon and tomorrow I will spend time in Mordor and downstairs.
Yeah. Oh, downstairs is like it's like an American golf.
It really is. We were like, all right, well let's see if there's any underdogs down.
Yeah.
Anyone like hung out with new stuff and.
No, it's like you want to buy brass knuckles with a knife.
Yeah. So that will be funny. I think a lot of the thermal and multispectral thing, there's a lot of development.
Yeah.
I think everybody is going batshit crazy about the Holosun putting those things out.
I think they're a gimmick. I'm just going to come out and say it.
I think in current state, they're a gimmick. But what I appreciate that they are pushing the envelope, doing the gimmicky things, because at the end, I can see the application that you have a multispectral thing that you just switch it what you need to use.
I think when it gets better, if it gets better, another company does it.
Yeah.
It's clearly this year pushed.
Yeah.
Like the effective range is nothing. Last year, the effective range was 70 meters on a human torso, on a rifle off. The pistol ones even wins.
And both years we've talked about it on this show because it's a great engagement gimmick that will be ready at some point.
but I think that's what the more companies should do, that if they have an vision to put it out on the table to be kind of pressure tested by the audience. Is this something what we want? Is it feasible?
Yeah.
Bumps the hole on it. Because I think in the optics world with the current technology, like multispectral things, and also like you, that I don't recall what it, I think it was last year that you can switch the reticle based on your zeros,
yeah,
based on the load and ammo and everything. Like all these capabilities, there's a technology for that.
Yeah.
I think it would be a game changer to have it that in the normal, like a scope or
right,
dot size package.
Yeah.
Like it's a, it would be a good deal and improve the capabilities.
Yeah.
But I think it will take a year or two, and I hope more companies would come out, even like freaking prototypes.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you think?
Yeah. No, that's, I, this is my first year of SHOT, so I've been like, every time I go and handle something that's kind of one of the SHOT show icons of this year, everyone's like, it's a prototype. It's like, okay, understood. And it's like, so we're teasing things, like, I mean, what's the Magpul suitcase gun?
Oh, the FMP9?
Like, yeah, that's been teased since 2008.
Yeah.
It's like
Zep has it now, and I got to figure fucking little clever design how they redesigned it.
It's just funny, like, how you say, like, they push out these prototypes, engage the audience interest, and then it's like, sometimes it's just dead in the water, and sometimes it's like, in decades of development in hell.
Yeah.
And, you know, I totally get that's how it is, but it's interesting to see people taking the risk of, like, hey, we could do this,
yeah,
and then like a decade later, it's like, guys,
yeah,
are we doing this or not?
Yeah, I'm excited for it though. It's
it
got me.
I was saying this yesterday. I was like, of any gun in existence, a little suitcase like PCC is Nathan's gun, right?
Yeah, no, I love it.
That's
like
you to a T.
2008, you know, Modern Warfare 2 on the chat.
Akimbo.
I talked to the project manager behind that yesterday, and
oh, really?
Yeah, we had a good conversation. I actually wanted to bring him on to talk about Zev in general.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what's happening with them that I can't really talk about here. But I found it really cool.
Yeah.
And, like, the inside of that, it works like an OZ-9. It's like a Glock-based FCU, but it's not a Glock. It's interesting. It's kind of like, we won't get into that now.
But lots of not a Glock at such.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Patent's expiring.
Hey, how are we doing on time? Oh shit! All right,
yeah.
All right, we're
about shit! Yes,
yeah. That's perfect timing.
Yes.
Do you want to wrap it up for me, Wilbo? Oh yeah. Well, anything you want to share with the audience before we get off here, Yari?
Last time I froze with that device.
Oh.
So
what?
So
our co-host Yari.
yeah. So I kind of figured out that eat your vegetables, work out, and don't be afraid to fail.
Yes, I like that.
Absolutely.
I like that. And I got all the crap that I've eaten, I'm getting down again. I feel it.
All right, guys. I may be looking for an...
I'm craving rye bread. Finnish hard rye bread. which challenged my teeth. The bread here is like... weak.
It's like sugar bread.
Yeah.
So I crave rye bread. I crave fresh fish. I crave freaking porridge, like meat without steroids. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And so you come to the US, your body's just like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
It's funny, like, I probably gain weight now, we discussed with Paige, and when she was in Finland, she ate normally,
yeah,
but she lost weight,
yeah. American food, like I got here 10 times,
okay,
yeah,
completely like the same or worse,
yeah. So, so if you find a vegetable,
yeah,
jump it, eat it because it's a scarce commodity in Las Vegas,
yes.
Absolutely.
Oh my god,
well, yeah,
I say I just had broccoli,
so
that's broccoli,
it's like wet cardboard. I doubt it's real, I think it may have been like.
It had the appearance of broccoli, but it was most certainly not. So I'm probably spray painted.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for your
thank
time.
You.
Great thank you. Thank you, Sherry. As always, you're always welcome.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We'll see you in the next bit.
Back to SHOT Show.
How are you?
Would you like to get a couple more close-up
calculations of it and take a better look. So essentially what we're doing is I take a ballistics calculation and I back project it from a first plane optic on top of an LPVO. So what you're seeing here on the phone, everything in white is what I'm actually projecting onto the optic. Mm-hmm. And we get live temperature data, pressure data, humidity. I get a rangefinder from our LRF, which you get 15 kilometers. And then the wind speed I can get with the live Kestrel integration that I don't have here at the show. But all of that produces a ballistics sensor. It's way more impressive looking down the optic if you want to take a look, I promise.
I don't know if you'll be able to get that in focus, but let's see if you can get that.
You're looking for it. I'll tell you what, while it's there, I'll update the wind and stuff so that you can see what that will change to, at least that way you don't have to move it. Come on. There it goes. And then I'll dial back the range, so you should see the reticle come into focus now.
Got it.
Yeah, that's
enough
to see how that's all moving around.
Absolutely.
Yes, you're good, and then there won't be a second gen of this? Like, the software will just roll with it? Or
That's exactly the plan.
Pretty long lifetime on this kind of thing?
Yeah, any features that we get, we don't plan on doing any kind of software packages, no downloadable anything.
Yeah.
If we have new features, you'll get new features.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Justin, marketing over at PSA, and we're going to be talking about kind of what they've been getting up to the last few years and some of the new products going on. So, main thing I wanted to get into with you was kind of PSA's been kind of a champion of proliferating the AR over the last few years. Like, it has been doing numbers since, I guess, like 2019, 2020, all that kind of spook, and people like clamoring for affordable, decent quality ARs. How's that kind of been for the company's growth last few years?
Yeah, it's been awesome. A lot of people, you know parts of our story, but essentially PSA was founded for one reason, and that was to spread freedom as much as possible.
Yep.
So what that means is, when we started, we saw a hole in the market. There was a lot of $1,000 guns, $1,200 guns, but nobody was making a gun that the common man could really afford.
Yep.
So our whole goal when we started making ARs was to start from the bottom and kind of build a good quality firearm. We make almost everything on our ARs in-house to cut costs, and then we sell direct to consumer to cut costs as well. So everything we make is 100% made in America, and we sell it at a lower profit margin so we can get it in as many hands as possible. Our whole goal is to get guns into common use, so it's harder for the guys in Washington to take it. So,
yeah, absolutely.
That's, like I say, that's been tremendous for growth. We've taken that growth. We've started running with it with AKs, with handguns, a lot of new clone builds we're working on. So, I mean, it really has been a great time. This year at SHOT Show, we're even giving more power to the people. We're actually doing a number of concept guns. So concept guns to us are stuff we know we can do, but what we're asking for is for the consumers to go and vote on what they want to see first. So we're all about giving the people what they want. I think we're one of the best companies around as far as listening to customers and actually getting them what they want to see instead of going whatever direction we think might work. Like, we just listen directly to what they say and make the product, and it goes great.
Oh yeah, and I mean, it's visible just how busy you guys have been on social media and at the booth. Like, seeing everyone clamoring for the MP7, that's like, bell of the ball.
Yeah.
And I mean, the AR-10s, like, seeing you guys go from proliferation to then, like you said, putting that money back into, I mean, the AR-10s with radiant charging handles, and putting those nice touches.
Yeah.
Like, you know, PSA going from proliferation to like really interesting clone builds and making like an AR-10 that's affordable for the everyman.
Right.
That's huge. And an AR-10 in 6.5, like doing really interesting stuff for the people. That's why I love PSA and why I love seeing you guys grow and be successful and getting the love for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you say, you kind of touched on it. We really started as kind of a, I wouldn't say budget, but I'd say a good value company. Now, what we've moved into now is doing some higher-end stuff, but even at the higher-end stuff, you're getting a lot of features that you're not going to find anywhere else for the same price point, and it's something you couldn't even piece it together yourself at home for the same price we're able to offer it to the consumer for. So that's really what we're focused on, is having the best value in the industry.
Yeah, seeing what you guys are doing with, I mean, the 570 and the MP7, like, are those both concept guns?
No, so we're in production with our 5.7 Rock pistol now. The X5.7, which you touched on, looks like something else.
Okay.
It's a concept phase right now, and it's blowing it out of the water in the voting, so yeah. It's going to be what we throw as many engineers as we can on.
Oh, absolutely. People have been clamoring for it for a while, and it's been the biggest gripe of the common man that can't get our hands on things like that.
So we'll grab one in a minute and kind of go over some of the things. Yep. But so we'll show you some of the products in the booth, and then we can wrap it up.
Excellent. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
I want to know everything about this. And like you mentioned your prototype with SLS.
This is SLS. We started prototyping with FDM. Yep. So this was originally prototyped on a Bamboo X Lab with PLA.
Oh, and that's the you can see the lines right here.
Well, this is SLS TPU-70A.
Never mind. I smoke out of turn.
Yeah, thankfully, none of the FDM parts made it here. We were able to get them all SLS printed in time.
Yeah, that's gorgeous. That's actually gorgeous. This is a fireable prototype? Or?
Yeah, you can fire this. We have not fired this. We fired the FDM one in the office, put about 80 rounds through it.
So that's amazing.
So we're excited.
So you use a Bamboo XC1 in your office?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man, I love this. I actually love them.
But they're good little machines.
So is this your project, your brainchild, or?
Yeah, well, so our CEO came in and said, hey, guys, I have an idea. How fast can we do it? Can we do this by SHOT Show? I was like, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah.
It would work.
That's amazing. I think, genuinely, and I was talking about this earlier, the FCUs, like the serialized part that just drops into a chassis, that's the way of the future.
Yeah. Well, so that's not what this is. We do have a switch that is that way.
Okay, never mind.
But yeah, this is based on the ROC platform. So this takes the ROC fire control unit.
Yeah.
It takes the full-size 23-round ROC mag with a 17 extension. And then this specific one has the ROC slot and a ROC barrel.
Yes.
In production, it will have a dedicated bolt and dedicated barrel.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Have you touched on the Radiant charging handle yet?
No.
As a Radiant fanboy, I mean, I was mentioning on the AR-10s, but seeing that as part of this build is like, oh, hell yeah.
That's
just a regular AR-15 charging handle, right?
Yep. Yeah.
I love that. Hell yeah.
With the Acro.
That is actually probably the coolest
thing. No, seriously, like, this, I mean, how far away are we from this being available to the people?
The goal is 12 to 18 months.
Yeah.
We'll see, there's still a good bit of engineering that still has to be done.
Yeah.
So to get it here for SHOT Show, this has got a ROC slide and ROC barrel in it.
Yep.
We're, you know, going to do something different for the internals, dedicated bolt, dedicated barrel.
Yeah.
So there's still a good bit of work that's going to be done.
So is this kind of, have you got firing models yet, or?
Yeah, we have an FD imprinted model in the office that we shot about 80 rounds through.
Oh, nice. Hell, that's probably doing a whole lot for you guys in terms of prototyping and making this stuff, like, get to market a hell of a lot quicker. Yeah. Has this kind of been how long have you guys been working on this behind the scenes?
We've started this 4 or 5.5 weeks ago, something like that.
What? Holy shit.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so it was very, very, very rapid.
Wow, that's incredible.
So, that's why there's still so much that's up in the air. Like, right now, this is a short recoil lever delay.
Yeah.
We're not married to that. We may want to do a fixed barrel if we want to hit weight requirements and suppressor requirements.
Yeah.
That's definitely something we still need to look at.
Gotcha.
No. So this is actually lever delay, similar to how the FN57 works. Yeah. Yeah. But I can't pull this apart because it's a pain in the ass, but otherwise, I would show you.
Oh, on top of that,
Spicy 22.
Yeah, was there kind of a delay? Like, I don't know how long this has been a concept for you guys, but has the brace thing been, like, an influence on where this was in terms of, like, being viable or just off the table forever?
Yeah, so if the brace thing had never gone away, we probably would not have done it. But it did, and we're like, okay, PCCs are back on the table.
Yeah. You know? There was never an idea to just, like, no stock and just have it as a handgun?
Yeah, no, it was so new that was, the brace thing was gone before we started working.
Oh, nice, okay, cool. Awesome. Yeah. I was going to say, it would...
4 or 5 week turnaround is very impressive engineering.
Yeah. Well, I mean, luckily we had a, you know, fully functioning system that we knew we wanted to base this off of. And so we were able to, you know, leverage a lot of existing hardware, a lot of parts, didn't have to prototype much other than the, you know, upper, the lower, the adapter, and the handle, as well as the brace.
Are you as an individual fan of FOSCAD by any chance?
That's how I got my job here.
Yeah. Very nice.
Just seeing, I had a few.
We know some of the same people. We've talked about this.
Yeah. Love it. Anything else we can touch on this before we head over to some of the other ones?
If you got any specific questions other than that, you know, price point's about going to be about $999 with the Magpul Inbus Pros and the Radian.
Very nice.
That's the goal.
That's what I've been loving seeing, like, $1,400 for an AR-10, like, in 6.5 with a Radian charging handle and only the accoutrements, like, hell yeah.
You guys are doing God's work.
Yeah, genuinely. Hell yeah. All right. Appreciate it, man.
No problem, dude.
Awesome.
Thank you, man.
I think, and this is just me, that FCUs are the future of pistols. I really do. Like, I hate giving SIG credit. I really hate giving SIG credit. I do really think that, like, the idea of the serialized fire control. Oh, sorry. Bricks a Glock instantly. If I can brick a dagger, that then, I mean, I brick a lot of shit, so maybe that is a me problem. I do love what you're doing with these. I really love the FCUs. I love the fact that you might be able to drop these into, say, a PCC or a chassis or something like that.
Yeah.
Change the grip sizes, change the grip modules, anything. I'm not going to talk trash in any other company here. I'm not about that. But I do really like how this is like the other Gun X macro with the comp. But not $1,000.
Right.
Yeah. I like that a lot. It keeps the Glock ecosystem, which I really, really prefer.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of aftermarket support already.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a lot of Saber stuff. So this is all more or less stuff that's, gonna come out. Like our Saber daggers.
Saber daggers. So these are the higher end line?
Exactly, yeah. It's just a premium version. It's got the Zafiri Precision barrel slide and our upgraded aluminum flat triggers.
Oh, that feels nice, actually.
How's it been working with other companies like Radian and Zafiri? Like, are they, PSA, you kind of the big tent in terms of, like, delivery. Are these guys, like, super engaged with that?
I hadn't interacted with them too much. That's mostly a camera question. He's the one that, collaborates with you guys.
No, it's awesome. I mean, it's great partnering with different people in the industry in there. Always happy to help us out.
Yeah.
And
this is a really good industry.
This is a really good industry, at least from our perspective so far. Like, we've seen a lot of good people, and there hasn't been a lot of cutthroatery.
Yeah, we love our industry partners, and we're always trying to grow those relationships because, in the end, we're all in this together. I mean, that's the big part of it.
That's what I like.
Yeah. So we always try to look for new partners and stuff too.
Yeah.
You guys, are there any other kind of families of firearms you're looking to kind of get into the dagger-esque family, or is it going to be mostly this ecosystem?
Yeah, so we've got some big bore and a 22 that we're working on.
22
Max, he's the lead on the other, on this one, the guy that you talked to yesterday.
Yeah.
You can scan this and go vote on which concept guns you want to see.
Oh, nice.
Do anything, not everything. So, these are
the principal.
Yeah, so we got a 22, we got a 45 full size, and a 10 millimeter compact carry size.
Nice.
As well as a full-size dagger, a dagger L.
That's awesome.
I'm a big fan of the Saber daggers.
Yeah.
Very aggressive grips.
Yeah, I'm as a Brit, I'm like looking at the bullpup like, oh, we got a SA-80 at home, which, what else?
similar. So the Jackal is more like it's a long stroke rather than a short stroke. I think the SA-80 was a short stroke.
Yeah.
But yeah, same idea. Hey man, super good to meet y'all.
Yeah. Really appreciate you walking us through stuff.
Seriously, it's awesome. I love this. This is my particular form of honor.
Let me get a card for you.
It is also like immensely flattering that you listen to
this. Yeah. No, we love hearing people all over the industry like making things happen, like making this happen while listening to Art Moore is crazy.
Yeah.
Let me go get you some card.
Thank you.
Problem.
Doing God's work.
Yes, sir.
Is there anything we can ever do?
Yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely.
That's like our
quick and dirty. I was trying to strangle this thing.
There we go. So, ladies and gentlemen, Alan Moore has been talking about crinks a fuck ton. We want something short and dirty, and fuck the ATF. We still have braces, and that gets out the shop. And, no?
Stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is not. Get out into the real world. But, no, look at this thing. I mean, the furniture's gorgeous, but I'm probably going to do something nasty like that.
So I'm practical with a little bit of wood furniture, but, I mean, just, like,
it is no lab practical, but who doesn't want a crink? Like, this is the vibe. This is the vibe we've all wanted since seeing Red Dawn. I'm, come on, Wolverines, right?
Modern Warfare.
Yep. I'm not an AK guy, could you tell? I'm a wannabe AK guy. Right.
You'll get one.
Oh, I will. Oh, it's in 5.56. I did not know that. Huh.
More practical, I think.
Probably. Oh, no, I guess, I misspeak. We got 7.62, 5.56, and Blackout, 5.45.
So, I know I love
it. What is your race against?
The stuff I never thought to sell this. And now we're selling it on the website.
And we gotta grab this thing. I'm not, like, crazy about getting one of these, but, you know, you gotta appreciate Proliferate and the ability to own stuff like this as a range toy, because God only knows, all of you World War II autists will beat the shit out of this, running around in mom's basement. We got this thing. 5.56.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Oof, she got some weight.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you can hear it, feel it.
Tag in.
Anyway.
Autism activated.
Mm-hmm. Show it to camera.
That's interesting.
I know. I've never handled an SUV before.
Yeah, neither have I.
And they have a lot of extra stuff.
All right, ladies and gents. You know I've been talking about SAEs for a long time, even though I fucking hate the system, but I want one. It's confusing. But, I mean, we got a Jackal here in a bullpup configuration. I think just 5.56 this one, 14.5. The SAAT we have at home, but probably kicks the living shit out of even the A3. I'll just flatly say and presume that. We got some weird stuff going on with the controls. We got bolt release right there, which for all the Americans, they're gonna fucking hate it. Coming back here for your bolt release. Yeah, like this. We got mag release right there. Again, everyone's gonna freak out about these reloads. Hell, if you want to LARP as a sad, rainy Brit, probably your best option on the market at the minute.
When is the CG available?